2 Corinthians chapter 8. We will head there again for this week. And it's good to see Mark and Sharon, by the way. I heard them over there. It's good to see you guys. Love you. And as our theme for this year is Beyond Their Power, taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, as we have dealt the last couple of Sundays. And we want to again continue in chapter 8. And I'd like to do, knowing that I was going to share, obviously, the verses about abortion and different things this morning, I prepared accordingly. And I would like to kind of just share some things briefly from my heart to you about how this chapter, as it kind of comes to a close, what we want to talk about. We preached, obviously, the first message, first Sunday of this year, about beyond their power and how God can take you beyond your ability. God can do things in your life that you cannot do for yourself. And you and I have got to realize that we cannot do this on our own. We don't have the ability. We don't have the power. We've got to rely on God. He takes us beyond our ability. And then we, of course, preached last Sunday about the subject of over the hump, how he says, now therefore perform the doing of it. We saw the example of the Macedonia church in verses 1 through 6 of what the grace of God can do, how it took them beyond their giving and beyond their joy and all the things that it did. And then we talked about the fact it did it for them. Now it's time for us to do it, and we have to perform the doing of it. Now, you say, preacher, where is all this going? If you are interested and you really do say, you know what, I do want God to do some things in my life this year beyond my power, beyond my ability, and I really want God to do it. Now, this is what we want to deal with today. This subject is built for beyond. There are some things that have to be in your life for God then to exercise His power and take you beyond your ability. Now, understand what I'm saying. God is not going to take you beyond your power if you're not headed the right direction. Does that make sense? It would be like if I had a remote control car here and I have the control and I'm the one that pushes the button forward. And if I'm driving that remote control and I'm the one that controls how much power it has, if it's heading right for that wall, I'm going to stop it. I am not going to exercise my power to it and ram it into the wall to break it. You got to understand that there's some things that have to be a certain way in our lives. In other words, we have to make sure that there are certain things in line, that we have some things correct, that we have some things right, so that God looks down and sees that they're living right, they're doing right, they're heading in the right direction. Now, I'm going to take them beyond their ability, and I'm going to do something great in their life in the year of 2016. And in chapter 8, the end here, we are given some of these things. And I want to share these with you because if you'll just notice, these are some things that God expects us to do that will enable Him then to go beyond our power in what He wants to make of our lives. Now, I want you to notice, if you'll look, if you would, at verse 12. For if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Let me say this and reiterate it again. This is an introduction to what we're going to deal with today. God is not interested at all in what you have. That verse says it's accepted according to a man that a man hath and not according to that he hath not. God is not as interested in what you have as He is interested in what you are. God doesn't care if you've got ability and talent. He gave it to you. He can take it away. What He wants to know is, are you right on the inside? Is there some things there that are lined up according to my word so that I then can exercise my power on your life and take you to where I want you to go? You got to understand, God doesn't give us His power to go beyond ourselves for our wants and our desires. God exercises His power on our life and enables us to go beyond where we can go according to His will, not ours. You see, God doesn't just give us strength so that we can do what we want to do in life and take it beyond our ability. That's only if we're heading God's direction. Then God can take us way beyond where we could take ourselves. Now, I want you to notice in verse 13, for I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, verse 14, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be, notice the word again, equality. You've often heard in God's word that if a word's used once, it's important. If it's used twice, it's extremely important. God is making a point. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. As we look at these verses briefly, and we realize what it means to be built for beyond, God, I pray that you would help our people to listen and apply this to our lives. May I, as their pastor, apply this to my life. In Jesus' name, amen. For God, listen, if you really want God to take you beyond your power, there are some things you must prepare first. I want you to notice, number one, there must be equality. In verse 14, we just read it. He gives us the principle that I want you to treat each other equally. I do not want you to see one group of people that are more important than the other group of people. I don't want you to see that these people deserve my help and those people don't deserve my help. He says in verse 14, by inequality, that your abundance may help them in their time of need and that their abundance may help you in your time of need. But the whole principle is that there may be equality. Dear friend, I'm here to tell you, if you want God to do something great in your life, then you got to realize that God is not a respecter of persons, and we can't be either.
Amen.
You know why some churches never go any further than they are? Because everybody has their own group and they think their group's more important, and they don't notice this person in need or that person in need, and they look down on others and they see a difference in people. And dear friend, God doesn't see it that way.
Amen.
Do you understand something here? Listen, I want you to get this. Now please, verse 14, he says that their abundance may also be a supply for your want. Say, what are you talking about here? Now notice verse 15. As it is written, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. Now you've got to understand the context of this scripture. We're not just saying, hey, somebody has need, it's up to me, I'm supposed to give my money that I've worked hard and saved and I'm trying to plan for my future. So God says, hey, you got to go take that money and you got to give it to them. Nobody has anything left over. Well, then that would go totally against what the Bible says in Psalms and in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and in other places about money and about how go to the ant, thou sluggard, how you're supposed to save, you're supposed to be wise. That would totally disagree with that. You say, preacher, what are you saying? They're talking about people that grew crops, that grew food, that had different things, and he's saying this: if a person has need, you make sure they get fed. Don't think I'm sitting here telling you that you got to work hard for your money, and if somebody has need, that it, you know, God expects you just got to go dump loads of money on them. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying this, that you and I need to make sure that a person's basic needs are met. If they're in our church, they're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we know they have need, and we have the opportunity to help them. Now notice this also principle, because I want to make this very clear. Verse 14, it says that your abundance may be a supply to them in their time of want, and that their abundance may be a supply to you in your time of want. That insinuates that they are working hard, but that their crops didn't come in and they don't have food. And if your crops came in and they had food, you need to help them out. It doesn't mean that I'm supposed to give my money and my food to somebody that's lazy and won't work. I just saved half of you there, didn't I? You're getting nervous. You're saying, preacher, that I'm supposed to let somebody that won't work, they're trying to live off the government and everybody else and trying to get everything free, and then they show up at church and they want help and I'm supposed to give them money. Listen to me, dear friend. God says you don't work, you don't eat. But if a person's working and trying hard and they have time of need, we ought to help them. Everybody understand the principle? What I am trying to make the point of this, God uses it twice, that there should be an equality. That we should never view ourselves as more important than anybody else. If you do, you're limited to what God can do in your life. But the moment you realize that it's not about me, it's not about others, it's about Christ, and we're all equal in His eyes, then you'll learn a valuable principle in life. Notice number two, that there must be enthusiasm for God to take you beyond your power. Notice, if you would, verse 17. For indeed, he accepted the exhortation, talking about Titus, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. You say, preacher, what in the world happened? Look at verse 16. It says, thanks be to God. Look at verse 16. which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. So here's Titus. He shows up and he gets a call from God. And not only that, he decides that I'm just going to, you know, I heard what God said, and I heard that there's a need. And the Bible says that of his own accord, Titus, he just jumped out, went and did it, went the extra mile. Not only did he answer the call, but he went beyond the call and did more. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Look at verse 17. Notice really closely. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward, that word forward means diligent, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. You say, preacher, what do you mean enthusiasm? I mean this, that you know what, if you're going to do something for God and God's going to exercise his power in your life and take you beyond, there's some things that God expects of us. Number one, we see here that Titus, he accepted the challenge. That means this, that you know, if you're going to do something for God, you've got to accept the challenge. You've got to heed the call.
Amen.
God has needs, and God lays things on your heart, and God pricks your heart about things. Let me tell you something. You can't sit back and do nothing, then expect God to do great things in your life.
Right.
You've got to accept the challenge. Like Titus, he accepted the exhortation. Notice, secondly, he not only was accepting of the challenge, but it means going above and beyond. Notice this. He accepted the exhortation, but being more diligent. That means this, I know there's a need, and I'm not just going to, you know, slowly make my way to fix that need. I'm going to jump and do it, and they're not going to have to keep asking. They're not going to have to beg. I'm just going to jump out and do it. Can you imagine how a church would operate if everybody did that? Could you imagine how a church would say, you know what, the restroom was kind of dirty this morning. Instead, if everybody said, well, the restroom's dirty, I'm going to clean it real quick. I'm going to pick the stuff up off the floor instead of going to complain to somebody there's stuff on the floor.
Yeah.
Nobody's done that. I'm just giving you a hypothetical, all right? If you did that, I don't know about it. So don't think I'm preaching at you. I've learned over the years. You would not believe it. You'll say things, have no clue, and it happens to just hit right on the dot. That's the Holy Spirit of God, isn't it? But they don't get mad at the Holy Spirit. They get mad at the preacher, all right? There's accepting the challenge, there's going above and beyond, but notice thirdly, there's being self-motivated.
Yeah.
Notice in verse 17, he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward or more diligent, of his own accord, he went unto you. I mean, you didn't have to wait, and he just was self-motivated. And you know what? God's going to do great things in your life. If you just listen to what God tells you to do, and you just decide, I'm going to go above and beyond whatever God gives me to do, if it's cleaning a toilet, if it's teaching a Sunday school class, if it's singing in a choir, if it's being an usher, God's giving me the call. I'm going to accept it. I'm going to go above and beyond. And bless God, not only that, nobody's going to have to motivate me. They're not going to have to call me and beg me to show up that Sunday. I'm going to be there. Self-motivated. God says there must be equality. There must be enthusiasm. Third, he said there must be exaltation. Notice if you would, verse 19. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace. Notice this. Which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. Here he's saying that Titus obviously had others that traveled with them, and they had others that they're getting ready to travel with. And obviously Paul is saying here, he's saying, you know, that they've been chosen by the churches and we're all working together. Notice this. I love this. To the glory of the same Lord.
Amen.
Dear friends, I want you to know something. God will only go beyond your power if he knows you will give him the glory. It is to the glory of God. Dear friend, everything ought to be about the glory of God. God should get the glory and nobody else. When somebody sings, when somebody preaches, when somebody plays an instrument, whatever activity we have, whatever we do, the goal should always be that God gets the glory. And we're all human, and I understand that, but it shouldn't even matter to any of us if we as individuals ever get the glory or the praise or the thanks for anything.
Right. Amen.
Exaltation. Number four, and more I would say to that, but our time's gone today. Number four, he said there must be ethics. Ethics. Look at verse 20. avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Notice three things I see in these two verses. Number one, he said you must be beyond in character. If you want God to take you beyond your power, then you must be beyond in your character. Notice this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us. How we're handling this abundance, how we're handling the things and handing out the food and handing out the money and dealing with the money and all these things. And whatever you deal with, he said, you ought to make it where nobody ever has blame against you. Dear friend, I'm going to tell you, God's going to have a hard time using you if you lose your testimony with everybody because of your ethics. He said that there must be the time where you're beyond in character. Notice, secondly, you have to be beyond in honesty. Look at verse 21. Providing for honest things. Dear friend, may you and I never do anything below board, but always above board. You got to understand, these are things that sometimes people don't see on the outside, but God says, if you want me to take you beyond your power, you have to make sure things are right on the inside, and you have to make sure that you handle things right when nobody's looking. Which brings us to point number three. Notice here, there must be accountability, or you must be accountable to God and men. Notice verse 21, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Ethics! God blesses character. Number five, he said there must be endurance. Look at verse 22. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things. Notice this, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Notice this endurance. He has proved diligent before, and there's a lot of work to do, but notice this in the middle of the verse, but now much more diligent endurance. God says, you know, if I'm going to take you beyond your power, then there has to be something inside of you that just determines right now. There's going to be times I'm going to get tired. There's going to be times I don't feel like coming to church. And there's going to be times I don't feel like doing such and such. And I don't feel like reading my Bible. And I don't feel like having my devotions. And I don't feel like doing right. And I don't feel like putting God first. But if you've been diligent before, great. But now it's time to be much more diligent. Now it's time to say, if I want God to do more for me, it's time for me to do more for Him. Does anybody get what I'm saying? Say amen.
Amen.
You know, sometimes churches are full of people that they've been doing such and such for years. Well, that's great. God's going to reward you for that. But we're worried about the next 6 months. We're worried about what are we going to do for God now? Yeah, well, I've worked hard for it. Well, that's wonderful. Thank God for it. But we now have to be much more diligent because the world's getting worse and worse and people are going to hell. There must be endurance. Last, there must be evidence. Look at verse 24. Wherefore, show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. Notice two things he says you have to do here when it comes to love. Number one, you have to portray love. He said, show to them. Number two, you have to prove it. Do you get it? He said, you need to show love to people, but if you're going to tell them you love them and you're going to show that love to them, look at me, it's got to be real and authentic. You've got to prove it. You can't say, well, you know what, I need to show love to these people and I don't really feel like it, so I'm going to say all the nice things and just make them feel whatever, and we're all good at that. And I'm going to do everything I need to do just to give that illusion. But he says here, if you're going to show it, you've got to prove it. You know, I think it's time for us sometimes to just kind of get over the facade that we all put across sometimes. And it's time to start proving what we've been saying all along. Have we not been saying that Kerwin Baptist Church, we love this community? Well, there's five of us. Thank you. We're really going to make a dent. We're really going to make a dent in Kernersville if all five of us. We love this community. Then it's time for us to prove it. Look at me. The love you show will mean nothing if it's not proven. So how do I prove it? Listen, if it's real, you don't have to. If you have to figure out how to prove it, we got a problem. But if we really love others, it'll prove itself. God said, these things have got to be this way, and I can go beyond your power. But I'm not going to do that if you don't have these things in your life. You and I have to be built for beyond. Lord, we love you this morning and thank you for the time. Thank you for the patience of our people and thank you for their faithfulness in the midst of the weather. And God, I pray that you would help us this morning. And Lord, I pray that our people would determine this morning to incorporate some of these things into their lives. Lord, maybe there would be some that would come and say, God, keep me right ethically in my life. I want you to bless me. Keep my ethics right. Lord, there might be some that would come and say, Lord, I've been kind of tired and I've just been kind of defeated. But Lord, I want you to do something great in 2016. And God, I need more enthusiasm. And God, I know it. I admit it. And this morning I'm coming to say, God, I want to do more and I want to be more diligent about this. I don't know what was said or what verse popped out at you that might have pricked something in your heart, but dear friend, would you be obedient as this first month of the year? Would you find a place at the altar? Make this decision before God. Humble ourselves. And say, God, I saw this. This is what you showed me. And this is what I need to do. And God, I need your help to do it. God, I do want you to take me and my family this year beyond our power. God, I need your help. We've got to get some things fixed in our family. We've got to get some things fixed in our home. God, I've got to get some things fixed at my job. Lord, I've got to get some things fixed in my relationship with you. And dear friend, if you and I will make sure that we follow His Word, God can do it. Lord, we need you this morning.